We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. Three NFL draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Back off, looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's the snap, he's got it, wants to throw, Wentz, looks, pressure comes, Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20, Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 347 on the Blue Wire Network. And oh my goodness, it has been a long time. I am your host, Tyler Drum, my two guys, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart here. Boys, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling great, bro. The jersey reveal is tomorrow. The draft is in about a week, a little more than a week. It's here. I'm excited. Malcolm, what's up with you, bro?
Woo! We are back, man. This feels great, man. Shit, I haven't seen you guys in forever, man. Like, I'm glad to be back, man. Let's go.
Well, I guess we should just like address the reason why we haven't been back. I guess there isn't really a great reason like why we haven't been as active. I mean, it's just like,
busy in life.
Yeah, that's the best answer that I could really give you. It's just been a little more busy, and I mean, I'm gonna speak for myself. I'm not gonna speak for both these guys. I'm gonna speak for myself. My intrigue level for this NFL draft hasn't been as high as compared to previous years. And it's a good reason why it's not as high as it is compared to previous years. One, the team is picking so late because they were so good last year. So, you know, it's tough to predict who's really going to be there and have all this fun, you know, doing these mock drafts and, like, you know, having all these fun scenarios. It's not the same as previous years when you're bad. And you look forward to this day, which is a good reason because the Lions are good now. And you don't have to look forward to the draft being the best day of the year. And secondly, for me personally, just watching other sports, you know, expanding a little bit. My Red Wings kept it interesting all the way to game 82, and I was locked in for that whole race. Unfortunately, they didn't make it, but just having that intrigue level being locked in. So for me personally, that's just where I'm at, and that's why I think, you know, we lacked a little bit. And it's an apology. We should have been more active, I think, during this month, and we should have, you know, threw out more content, I think, personally. But, you know, we're here now. We're doing a three-round mock draft. So, boys, how are we feeling overall, though? Before we get into this three-round mock draft, where is your intrigue level for the NFL draft this year?
Mine's at a 10, and I've been busy because I'm an accountant. It was tax season for us, so I don't really have a lot of time to record as much. And I know Malcolm's kids are, like, in basketball and stuff, so everyone's just been a little busy, bro. But I'm at a 10, bro. I love the draft season. So it's where you get your, you know, you build on your foundation. And for Brad, last year, he landed Laporta and Branch in the second round, and that 29 pick-ish is kind of that range. I'm excited, bro. Brad could fucking draft. Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, Tyler, I'm with you, bro. I've been so tuned in to other things right now and busy with life that I haven't got a chance to really dial in into the prospects in the draft. You know, with the whole thing with March Madness, like, that was, I mean, phenomenal. I think both sides, even the women's, the guys, both, they took my attention away. Between that and then now we got the NBA's now in the playing tournament. There's so much stuff going on right now.
And
man.
You got a good team in the NBA.
Yeah, my team's the Knicks. So it's like, you know, now we got the playoffs coming up. So now it's like, it's a little bit difficult, you know, to focus on the prospects and the draft and then the playoffs of basketball. But, you know, you always got to find a place for, you know, your NFL, man.
Right. And I think once the wing season ended officially the day before, the day we're recording right now, it's like, you know what? Let me deep dive a little bit into this draft. And it started to come there a little bit. I'm like, okay, you know what? I was reading on my like, okay, I kind of miss this a little bit. I do miss the draft a little bit. So it's getting up there a little bit. You know, we're a little over a week away from the NFL draft. So, you know, it's gonna be exciting, man. You like Peter said, Brad could draft and you know he's gonna have some excitement for us. And we know he's gonna get some good players too. And I think that's another reason why it's even like I don't want to say less exciting for me. It's like, I just know Brad's going to give me good players. I don't need to do the research anymore and like get pissed off by not picking a guy. I have full trust in Brad's going to be and getting me good players on this football team. So
unlike Troy Weaver, right?
Oh, don't get me started with that. That's a different topic on a different day. All right, let's get into this 3-round mock draft. We do this every year and I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. Pick 29. Who do you have the Detroit Lions select?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll like be here at 29, but he's I think DJ's number 30 overall player. It's Jerzon Newton or Johnny Newton. He goes by Johnny Newton. He's a defensive tackle. He's a pass rusher. I feel like this is insurance if you don't sign Aleem, or it's just having two really good pass rushers on your football team. I don't know if he makes it past 19 with the Rams. Honestly, the Rams lost Donald, so. But if he's there, he's around the podium. And then Colton Pouncey also had an interesting – he talked with him. He said he met with the Lions at the Combine. He's like, I fuck with the Lions and they fuck with me. So
– he did, yeah.
He's just a heck of a player. I think he's the second best interior defense lineman behind Byron Murphy out of Texas. I don't know. I would love Newton in the Lions jersey. I feel like he screams great. He screams Dan Campbell. So that's who I had.
I would love that pick personally for the Lions. And I agree with you. He just screams being a Detroit Lion, like all his combine interviews. And I just feel like you had mentioned really well. And there's obviously a need there on the defensive line. And they did a little bit this offseason, adding obviously a guy like DJ Reader, which, you know, doesn't necessarily add a huge need to it, but like it's still a need definitely on the defensive line. And having him as a rotational piece to this defensive line, I think would be absolutely huge. So 100% would love that pick if the Lions went with Newton.
Yeah, also one thing with Newton is, so he played in 45 games, had 37 starts over 4 years. He had 7.5 sacks in 2023, and he led the FBS with 4 blocked kicks. I believe he was also a team captain. I think he was a team captain. The Lions love that. I got to look that up, but, I mean, he's just a phenomenal player, bro.
Yeah, I would freaking jump. I'll jump for joy. They made that pick. I mean, the thing is right now, you may look at the defensive line, the defensive line position, and probably don't think that's like a really big need, the defensive tackle. But DJ Reader's 29. He's turning 30 in July. So he turned 30 this year. I think the Lions need to kind of invest into a defensive tackle and, you know, for the future, because DJ Reader, he's a good pickup for, you know, this season and maybe next season, but I don't think he's a long-term piece. So if they do make that pick, that'll be beneficial for the Lions long-term.
One thing with Newton, he's not a nose tackle. He's more of like a three-tech, a pass-rushing type of guy. So I don't think he could replace Reader, but let's say Newton has a great year. Let's say Aleem is playing great. Aleem does shed some weight, but we've seen him play nose tackle. Maybe, you know, if Reader leaves, you move Aleem to the nose and you put Newton next to him, and there's your duo for the next – 5 to 7 years or whatever it is. So potentially, I mean, I'm just thinking like, also, yeah. I don't really draft based on need anymore. Kind of like how Brad did last year. We didn't need a linebacker at, what was it?
18,
but he still took a linebacker. He was the best player on the board. So when I honestly did this mock draft that we're going to go through, I just took BP. I didn't even look at needs. I just like took the best player that I think fits the Lions.
Yeah, and that's what Brad has done in his first three drafts, is pretty much that same equivalent is not really caring what fans want as far as position. He's going to draft what player he thinks is best for this football team. And even, you know, you mentioned the Jack Campbell pick. I think you could even make the same argument with the Jahmyr Gibbs pick. Like, they signed David Montgomery. I don't think anyone really thought they needed a running back, especially with their first draft pick in the top 10, which they ended up trading back to 12 to get Gibbs. But, you know, like, Brad's going to draft whoever he thinks is best for this team. And, you know, I think that is a smart approach because that's what he's done so far and it's worked so far. So
yeah, I can't. I mean, whatever he wants to do, I mean, I can't be like, what are you doing? Like, he's shown he
He has a track record now.
He has a track record, exactly. Only one of his pick is not on the roster right now, Chase Lucas. Everyone else, I believe, is on the roster. So,
And he's even hit on some UDFA guys, too.
Yeah, he has.
And keep in mind, it's not best player available on PFF's board or Darren Jeremiah's, is his draft board. His draft board could be completely different from our draft board. The analyst draft board is he's going to be PA based on his draft board.
100%.
Keep that in mind. Because, where's Jahmyr Gibbs last year in the first round? I don't think he was in anybody's top 10 in anybody's draft board last year. But he was in Dan Campbell's draft board last year in the top 10, very high. So it's different. It's different.
Right, for sure. All right. Let's go on to my pick. So I picked 29. Also kind of went to a similar approach. Did a little different player, but I went with Nate Wiggins here. Very intriguing prospect here. And I think this could potentially even be a plug-and-play starter right now, because something we haven't really addressed so far is the Cam Sun situation. Obviously, that whole debacle happened, and, he's not on the football team anymore. So it opened up a need, I would say, at cornerback now. Obviously, you trade for Carlton Davis, and I think when we traded for Carlton, it's like, okay, I think we're comfortable with our starters with being Carlton and Cam Sun on the outside. Obviously, the whole situation with Cam Sun happens. He's not on the football team anymore. They signed Amik Robinson early in the offseason, and I think he can definitely compete to be a starting outside corner. But they need bodies in there right now. They need competition right now. And Amik has shown that he can start for this football team. But I think a guy like Nate Wiggins puts some pressure on, the Lions cornerback room and saying, hey, this is not an automatic starter for you, Amik. And, with Nate Wiggins, he's an intriguing prospect. Ran a 4.28 at the combine, and good size, 6'2 corner, played good man coverage at Clemson. And that's something the Lions like to do. And some, analysts and more people that have watched film on Wiggins, they think he'll project better as a zone corner. But I think the traits here really fit with the Lions looking a corner, having a need there as well. So I went with Nate Wiggins at pick 29 for the Detroit Lions.
Tyler, I love Nate Wiggins, but I don't think he's a Dan Campbell type player. What I mean by that is he's not a willing tackler. I would love Wiggins, but I don't think they would take him. But like you said, 44.4 passer rating allowed in man coverage, an elite in man, very fast. There's the questions with him is his tackling.
Yeah, and he's
he has to bulk up a little too. He's a little smaller,
173 right now. Yeah, I mean he's a bigger corner, which I feel like we just don't really have right now. I mean, I know you traded for Carlton, but we don't have like that big physical corner yet. And I think if Wiggins could become a better tackler, they could develop him. Like, I think that's that corner we could really look into and say he could potentially be your number one. And I think the thing I like about this year with having Carlton, it's not the pressure. It's like, oh, we're drafting guy, you have to automatically throw him and be your number one guy. He could be your number two. He could take number two receivers, or he doesn't even have to be that right away. It could be Amik Robinson to start the season, and then eventually, if Wiggins shows something or whatever guy they take at this cornerback position, because I'm assuming they're going to take one eventually at some point during this draft, they could eventually, go in that crock pot and eventually be that starter at some point in that 2024 season. And, if there's an injury too, they could step into that role. So I like the pick here. I think it's a need for the Lions, and there's some other cornerbacks I would have liked, but they just weren't there for what I did at the PFF mock. So I like Nate Wiggins, though. I think he's a very intriguing prospect.
Yeah, I like that pick too, man. Actually, on my pick, I went a slimmer route.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I like that pick too, man. Actually, on my pick, I went a slimmer route. I went the same position, different player, because he was available on my mock, and I'm very familiar with this player from Alabama. I went with Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he's a guy who I think, just like you said, man, I think the Detroit Lions eventually is going to need a corner. You know, they need a guy to replace Cam Sutton, who had that diabolical all season. So they need a guy to replace him. Now, is it something that is needed to start right away? No, you have Amik Robinson that could start until that rookie is ready. So I think this is a perfect situation for a guy for the Lions to draft a corner and have no pressure for him needing to come in and start right away. So I mean, with that pick, yeah, I'm going with Kool-Aid here for my first round pick.
I like the Kool-Aid pick a lot. I honestly wanted him, but he wasn't available in my mock, so I didn't cheat. I didn't redo it, so I stuck with my initial one. But I think you literally went like the pick or two before.
You're a real one. I would have started that shit all over again.
I've done that in the past. Hey, after on mocks.
Oh man! So Malcolm, you're saying this wasn't try one? No, I'm kidding.
No. Honestly, no. He was there on my try one.
He went pick before. He went to the Buffalo Bills at pick 20. I'm looking at it right now.
Wow. One thing with Kool-Aid, I do like Kool-Aid, but one thing that scares me about him is his vertical speed. It's kind of similar to how Cam is. Like, he'll play good in the shortstop, but the vertical stuff, he get beat potentially. I know in Alabama, what they did is they put Arnold on an island, then everyone else kind of sometimes played zone. Like, Arnold would play man, the other guys would be in, like, in some sort of zone. So it's kind of the concerns I have. Could he thrive? Because it looks like they want to go to a man coverage scheme. Could they thrive in man? I know they've done a lot of work on him. They met with him, I think, at the Combine. They went to his pro day. He had a top 30 visit here. So we'll see. But that's my only concern with him on tape is his vertical speed.
Yeah. I know. I think it's very similar to Brian Branch. You know, Brian Branch didn't have the best 40. But, you know, his play speed is a lot faster. And I think that's the same thing with Kool-Aid.
That's the thing I don't see, though. I don't see him as, like, I don't really care about his 40 as much as when I watched him play on those vertical routes. He would get beat a lot. So, but he does, like, he tacked, like, you know, he's a physical corner. He played for Nick Saban, and, you know, we see those corners all the time thrive in the NFL.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't really thrive was D. Milner, I guess.
And Brad really loves those.
Brad likes those guys. Yeah. And then Nick Saban was actually in town, I want to say a week or two ago. I forgot. I think Nick Bumgarner said it. He was actually with the Lions, like, in the facility or something. So that was interesting.
For the sake of this, obviously we're not doing trades because it's just impossible to predict. But would you guys be shocked if Brad in this draft trades up and potentially maybe go out there and get an edge rusher, maybe a corner or whatever position, right? Like, could you see that potentially happening in this draft where Brad Holmes trades up?
So, Tyler, I wouldn't, because they brought in Terron Arnold for a visit. They also brought in Newton for a visit. Like, I don't think Newton will be there at 29, and I don't think Arnold will be there at 29. I think they also – there was another guy I'm missing. Fuck. Did they bring Mitchell in for a visit?
From Toledo?
Yeah.
I don't know if they brought him in for a visit. But that was honestly who I was thinking of, who, like, I think would be a great fit for the Lions if they were to trade up. Because, like, he's not going to be there at 29.
Oh, they did not bring him for a visit. But they did bring in Kool-Aid, Arnold, Newton. Like, those are those guys we just talked about. Arnold, yeah, bro. I mean, I'd be so happy if you traded up for Arnold. He's Jalen Johnson. You watch Jalen Johnson all-pro corner with the Bears, that's who I compare him to.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It would be interesting because, like, obviously the Lions don't have many needs. I could see them potentially being a little aggressive and trading up potentially and getting a guy they really like. You know, we've seen Brad willing to do that in the past. Did it with J-Mo a couple years ago.
That'd be obviously, huge.
You know, did it with Branch last year. Like, you know, he's willing to trade up in the draft. Did it with Levi in his first draft. So, like, it wouldn't completely shock me if Brad finds a trading partner, moves up, and gets a prospect he really likes instead of waiting at 29.
Yeah. No, anything Brad does would not surprise me one bit. if he decides to trade up, I wouldn't be shocked. Now, if he decided to trade up somewhere like really high, yeah, I'll be kind of shocked. Like, what is he doing in the top 10? Yeah. Like, something like that is like, okay, well, Brad, whoa, you know, that'll be a shocker. But if it's, you know, if he's going up and moving up a few spots, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Well, I will say one thing about Kool-Aid McKinstry. So Brad's second draft, he drafted Jameson Williams the first round. He was number one. He had the number one. Yeah, last year, he took Jahmyr Gibbs. He was number one. Kool-Aid McKinstry rocks number one. Does Brad love the number one guys from Bama that rock that number one jersey?
Does the trend continue?
Hey, I mean, if they took him out, I'd obviously be happy. I like Kool-Aid, but just I have a little concerns with that. But like you said, you don't have to throw him out there right away. You could teach him some things. And I feel like any corner they take, it would be wise to sit unless they just come out in camp, like just ball out and you have to play them.
The crazy thing is now is number one is available in the Detroit Lions. They could all do like a little 40 race in training
camp.
If they were to hypothetically draft Kool-Aid, they all do a 40 race. They all fight for the number
Kool-Aid
one.
I don't think Kool-Aid has a chance. I think they give Kool-Aid a head start. He'd have a chance.
My bet's J-Mo. My bet would be J-Mo.
You think J-Mo?
I think J-Mo or Gibbs.
I think Gibbs, for some reason, I think Gibbs would catch him in the 40, man.
I think possibly. In a race, I think J-Mo wins, man. I think his speed is nuts.
I just think, like, if it was like 100 meter, I would give it to J-Mo.
Yeah, but it's a 40, I think Gibbs.
For 40, I think J-Mo might. I mean, Gibbs might give him a run for his money, man.
They're both really fast, man.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
That'd be fun to watch. I wish they did it and they live streamed it. That'd be fun.
It's like sure. It's like in 2020 they had that punting competition in training camp. It's not as exciting, obviously. But that's something I find exciting: the Jack Fox versus Aaron Sipos punting battle. Literally. That's what you could do for this battle for the number one.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. We got pick. What is this? Pick 58. Oh my god, 58. All right, second round. Peter, who do you got here?
61. So out of this. Tyler is so out of this draft.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 61. My bad.
Oh, man. Tyler, 61. I went with Christian Hayes, a guard out of UConn. I think this is where he's going to go, like that mid to late second. He's just a plug and play, bro. Whether it's this year or whether you don't feel – he's only played right guard in his career, but I feel like he could also play left if he needed to. Zeitler has mainly played right guard, so Zeitler's your right guard this year. But this kid could potentially be a Zeitler replacement. He could sit and learn. Or he could come out and beat Graham. Plug and play guard. He's a big guard. He has power. So I like it. I mean, well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I liked it so much. I hit the same player in the second round. I also picked Christian Hayes here, and it's kind of a similar process. Is where the Lions need depth on the offensive line really badly, specifically in the interior. So you're not in that situation where you're throwing in a Colby Soresdale or a Kaiode Oshiku on there, you're getting a little better option out there. Right. And it's a guy who could start day one for sure, but you have options where he doesn't have to start day one. And with this offensive line just aging a little bit with Frank Ragnow, you got Zeitler on a one-year deal who's in his mid-30s. Like, you're going to need some future options out there. And you're saving some money here getting a guy on a rookie contract. And if there's an injury, you feel comfortable for him to go in and plug and play. And if not, you feel comfortable in year two that he could be a starter and you're not forcing your hands to go out there and sign another veteran and you just have options in your team, you know, your facility. And having those options is really good. So I like the Christian Hayes pick. I think they needed offensive lineman really badly in this draft. And it's something we've been wanting for forever. I feel like it's just offensive line depth. And it's tough in this league to get depth in this league. But I think the Lions need depth very badly at this position. Their starters are very good up front, but once you start going to the depth, it gets a little shaky. And I think even the tackle position is something we could potentially look at. And that's not something Christian Hayes is ever going to play, but I'm just saying in general, that's another position I think we could look at for potential more depth is the tackle position.
Yep. I would say another guy that I like there is Cooper Beebe out of Kansas. He's a really good guard too. He wasn't there though. So,
man, Christian Hayes, man. So, shoot, man. I mean, looks like we all picked the same guy.
Are you also Christian Hayes too?
No, I'm just playing.
Oh, yeah, I was about to get happy for a second. Damn, you got me excited.
No, I did it.
Who'd you take, Malcolm?
For some reason, like, I mean, I've been so defensive mind, had a defensive mindset this draft. I just went defense. So with the second round, I actually had the Lions actually doubling up on Bama players. I have him taking the edge rusher, Chris Braswell.
I'm a big fan of his.
He's a stud. I mean, as far as like a guy that doesn't have to be the number one option, because he definitely benefited from Dallas Turner on the other side. But he's a guy who had 8 sacks last year, and he had good speed, ran a 4.6 and his 40. He's a guy that could come in, and if like he could probably potentially be, you know, that stud that we've been looking for to play on the opposite side of Hutch. So that's where I went in the second round.
Yeah, fits a need. I like it. And we were talking before the show started, like just the defensive line depth. Like, it's still a bit concerning, I think. Like, they brought in Davenport, they brought in Reader, which are huge this offseason. But, like, I think when you look on the other side of Hutch, I think there's still some questions there. Like, who is it going to necessarily be? Is it going to be Davenport? Is it going to be Pascal? Is it going to be James Houston? Like, who is it going to be out of those guys? And it could be a committee of them, but like, I still think it's a big question mark. And I think getting another guy in there would be big for this football team for sure.
I'm a big fan of Braswell. He played for that Bama defense. He's productive, really good player. If he took Braswell, I'd be happy with that, honestly.
Yeah. And the Lions have shown, obviously, they love Bama players in the past, so it wouldn't shock me whatsoever.
Yeah, Chris Braswell is really good. He's a good player.
All right, let's go into pick 73. We originally had 2 third-round picks, but we obviously traded one of them for Carlton Davis. The Lions kept the better of the third-round pick, so this is Minnesota's pick. So at pick 73, Peter, who do you have here?
I went with a local kid, Marshawn Nyland. This kid kind of reminds me of Max Crosby. He's really athletic. He has a high motor, but he doesn't have a lot of, like, stats to back it up. Kind of like, you know, Max went in the fourth. I think this kid could actually be an early second round pick. That a lot of people are saying that, but he was there, so I took him. Elite athlete, really good traits, like high motor, like doesn't give up, kind of plays till the whistle blow. You know, that's Dan Campbell type of player. Marshawn Nyland and Hutchinson, man, I could just, it's like, and then Newton up there with Elite. It just, I don't know how to say it, but Nyland could potentially be like a Max Crosby type. Now, I'm not saying like 18, 9th or 15, 16 sacks, like maybe 10 to 11 sack guy. That's a win in the third round, second, third round.
Ooh.
Yeah. I could see him honestly going like early second just because of his traits, his athleticism.
Yeah, that'd be intriguing. And obviously the Max Crosby intrigue, I think, is going to intrigue people for sure. And yeah, I'm all in for it. What about you, Malcolm?
I mean, if you compare him to Max Crosby, shit. I mean, what do you have to say? There's nothing to say after that.
Well,
I mean,
I'm saying, the size, athleticism, it's very similar. But obviously, Crosby is a better player. He's developed. This guy is like, he has his traits and stuff. But could he be that type? I don't think he'll necessarily be Max Crosby, but I think he'd be like a 10 to 12 sack guy.
I mean, so he has the traits to be like a Max Crosby. So not even like the same. You're not like, all right, Max Crosby, who he is now, and saying he's going to be just as good as Max Crosby, but he has the potential to potentially be like a Max Crosby type player. So, I mean, I'll take that any day of the week.
And we need defensive lined up. So,
that's all true. I'm all in for it.
All right. So, this pick I went here in the third round, kind of a local guy, somewhat. Complicated name. I'm going to try my best right here. I looked up at like 3 YouTube videos how to correctly pronounce this guy's name. Rook Hararoa from Clemson, originally from Nigeria, moved to Michigan when he was 9 years old. I don't know what Malcolm's laughing at. Malcolm, what are you laughing at me right now?
You better pick the same guy.
No, go ahead, man. Shit.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a little story here, though. Okay. So originally from Nigeria, right? Moves to Michigan when he's 9 years old. He goes, plays at River Rouge, mainly plays basketball, ends up playing football his junior year. Gets an offer from Clemson, and this is just a very intriguing prospect in general, man. Like a guy who is a bit of a tweener. He's going to play defensive tackle in the NFL, but, I mean, he stands out, man. I love the story. I love his build, you know, just looking at him. And I was looking at some pro comparison. This was from Lance Zeeland from NFL.com. His NFL comparison for Rook Hararoa was Justin Madubuike. And I'm like, wow, that intrigues me. I'm like, you know, look more into this guy. I'm like, if because this is a guy I respect his opinion. And the build here is perfect, I think, for what the Lions are looking for. A guy who could, you know, be a tweener, but I think will mainly be a defensive tackle in the NFL. He's a bigger fella. But, you know, I think he makes a lot of sense for what the Lions want to do here. You guys kind of mentioned it with Newton earlier, just like needing some depth and needing some more long-term options. I think with Rook here, you're getting that option. A guy that doesn't necessarily have to start day one, but you're getting some versatility and you're getting a guy who could, you know, plug and play some snaps once the season rolls around, and you're getting a future option as well to potentially pair up with Aleem McNeil in the future. So that's who I went with in the third round. What is your guys' thoughts?
I'm a fan of his raw player. Obviously needs time to develop, but like you said, where the Lions are right now at this point of their, like, their team building, they don't need to really start any of their draft picks. They really don't. Yeah. So I like Rook. He actually was here for the local pro day they had, because he's from Detroit. So they've done some work on him. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like that pick so much that I actually picked the same guy. This time I'm not bullshitting. This time, no cap. No, I'm not capping this time. I picked the same guy. I just love the pick, man. I think that he could be everything that we thought Levi Onwuzurike was going to be. I think he could be everything that we thought he was going to be. And come in, it doesn't necessarily need to start because we have our defensive tackles pretty much set this year. But if they work on this kid, and I think they could get high production out of him going forward in the future. I mean, last year, you look at his stats, is what he did last year. He had 5 sacks. And he's a defensive tackle running a damn near 4.8, 4.9. So he has speed. I mean, he's very versatile. I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions, if they did draft him, use him inside and outside, just based on his versatility. And he has the speed and power to do both. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot.
He has yet a 9.91 RAS. I mean, that ranked 16 out of 1735 defensive tackles from 1987 to 2020. He is an athletic.
Yeah.
Freak, but again, it's a lot of like more developing, and you have the best guy to develop them, Terrell Williams. If you know,
it's right.
The thing is, there's no need to start him. You have your defensive tackles. You have Aleem McNeil. You have EJ Reader. You could just play him sometimes, rotate him in sometimes, give him a little taste of the game, give him some snaps here and there. But he's a developmental project. So,
Malcolm, try saying his name.
Rook. Aurora is
good enough.
Aurora, is that how you say it?
I don't even know if I'm saying it right. It's Aurora or something. Like that. It's something like
Rook,
that.
I say it Rook or Hororo.
Yeah. It's gonna be a project if we draft him. As far as getting his name down, point. We had the same problem. Remember we had what's his name? Amani Awarie.
Oh, Warrior, that was tough.
That was a tough one. I mean, we had some tough names.
We can say a Warrior in our sleep, Amani or Warrior. So
yeah, now we got it now. But I mean, it was
even Levi was a little tough for the start. It was like Levi
was a rookie.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Who else was there? It was tough. Oh, Coyote Oshiko is a tough one.
Yeah, that was a pretty tough one too.
Oh, yeah. People say Owiska. I'm like, bro, it's Oshiko.
It'll look like Oshiko. I'll give him that. It does not look like Oshiko whatsoever.
So that but you know that thing that the Lions have where like they show like how to pronounce pronunciation and stuff? Yeah, that's how I learned it.
You're definitely going to need that for Rook if we were to draft him on your football team. He's definitely going to be on that the program sheet for sure.
Yeah, who else did we have trouble with? Jelani Tavai was kind of hard when we drafted him. Everyone kept saying Tavi or some shit.
At first, it was tough.
I mean, I don't care if they mispronounce his name. Goddamn it, say his name wrong as much as you want to. Goddamn it, like.
Before we end here, I just want to go through some top 30 guys they brought in for visits here. So, if it's okay with you guys,
yeah, go for it.
So we'll start with the corners. Terrion Arnold, we talked to Ennis Rakestraw. We didn't really mock him, but he fits. He's a physical corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, we talked about, and then Quantes Stiggers. This guy was in the CFL. He's expected to go in the fourth or fifth round. Really good player. Safety, Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. He's projected second, third round. Cornerback, Kalen Carson, more of a third round pick. So those are some corners there. Defensive tackles, we got Johnny Newton. We talked about Christian Boyd, small school guy. Michael Hall out of Ohio State, more of an athletic type of pass rusher. I think he's more of a second-round pick. And then they brung in today a guy. He's like forgot his name, damn it. But he is more of a like late-round pick developmental type player.
And so the guy from William St. Mary?
Where your boy went to, Tyler, your favorite player on the
Kobe
Lions.
Kobe Sorsdale, yep.
Played with Kobe Sorsdale. So
I'm bowling him up for you right now.
Thank you. And Jeff Risen also said they met with, I think it's Deontay Walker, the wide receiver in North Carolina. He has some drop issues, but he's like an ex-receiver, like more of a third-round pick, in my opinion. Who else we got here?
Nate Lynn was the player from Williams & Mary.
Nate Lynn, thank you. And then we got a safety, Sione Vaki, out of Utah. This guy is like a really athletic guy. I feel like he could be a returner. He could play safety, kind of more of a special teams guy, backup safety type of role out of Utah. And then offensive tackle, Giovanni Manu. So more of a late round guy as well. So they've been doing their work on top guys, later round guys, but it looks like a lot of corners and safeties, defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen. And then also edge, Marshawn Nealand was in for a visit. I think it was today they reported or yesterday. The guy we talked about at Western Michigan. So
right. And I'm assuming he probably was at the local pro day as well.
I'm not sure on that. I have to look that up. One thing, though, is there's a kicker that's at Ford Field. Do not let him leave Ford Field. Do not let him leave
What's
town.
What's his Bates?
Jake Bates.
Jake Bates, yeah.
That kid had a 60 – what was it?
60, he tied Tucker's record, didn't he?
Man. That kid is like – that kid is so clutch. Every time they need to make a kick, he goes and makes a kick.
They did it like 3 weeks in a row, dude. It was unbelievable.
Does he play for the Michigan Panthers or something?
Yeah, he plays for the Michigan Panthers. He's at Ford Field already.
Yeah.
The Lions actually reached out already to him. I think it was according to
Tony Paul, I believe, reported.
Yeah,
that.
Tony Paul from the Detroit Free Press or Detroit News?
Detroit News.
So Lions reached out, so did other teams. I think he's gonna wait after the season to sign with the team, but he's gonna be the NFL. And yeah, so man, go get Bates and let him compete with the Money Badger. Whoever wins, wins.
I'm not going to lie, guys. The UFL is like, I'm not saying I'm locked in, but like, you know.
Oh,
like
my God.
I did watch it a little, Tyler. I'm not going to lie.
Watch a little bit here and there, you know. It's not bad.
No,
I see a lot of like NFL guys that didn't work out. They're just dominating in the CFL. Or, I'm sorry, UFL.
The UFL, yeah. UFL. I was watching, it was Easter Sunday, actually, and I was watching San Antonio. I can't remember their team name, but it was San Antonio, right?
Is it the Roughnecks or some shit?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. I have no idea. But Destroying, do you guys know Destroying, the YouTuber? Like the guy who
Yeah. I heard he got hurt.
He got hurt, though, but like he was playing in that game, and I saw the craziest trick play ever, and I'm like, Dan Campbell is going to pull this off somehow in the NFL somehow. So it was a fake field goal where the punter, because he was the holder, the punter throws it. They had an eligible center, and he caught the ball and scored a touchdown on a 55-yard play.
Center.
It was nuts, dude. It was amazing. And then I'm like, dude, this league is kind of cool. And ever since then, I've been like watching ever spurtly. You know, it was cool, man. It was cool.
Yeah, dude. That's cool. That's cool, man.
That's the first time I've really given one of these leagues kind of a chance, honestly, because I'm always like I try to give it a chance, try to get into it, and I never really do. And I don't know, that play actually got me locked in. I'm like, this is pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, you guys could go see a Michigan Panthers game.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
they're probably dirt cheap.
They are
like 20 bucks.
It's like a $20 ticket.
Like 20 bucks. And it's probably all in 100s.
Yeah, they don't even sell Upper Bowl tickets. It's just Lower Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, if there's like a Saturday or Sunday, I'm not doing anything, you know, go out there.
I don't know.
That's pretty good. Check out Michigan. Yeah. Now the wing season's over. We got more time now. I remember they've been playing these Michigan Panthers games at bad times, man. They've been playing them like the same times as the Wings and the Tigers playing. I'm like, come on, guys. You're not even giving these guys a chance to have fans in there. Obviously, they're going to go to the other two teams. And, you know, maybe now that the Wing season's over, like, they'll draw a little more
attention. That just sounds so depressing, man. Stop saying that. Stop saying
it. What, the Wing season's over?
Yeah, stop saying it.
Man, yesterday when he scored that goal, I was going fucking nuts. And I look at my phone. Fuck. Well, Capitals just won.
Dude, it was. Oh.
I wish the game was today, just so like I could be happy or some shit. The Caps game was today, kind of.
I literally tweet that. At least I'm like, at least give me the false hope to at least have 24 hours and enjoy it. Like David Perron scores a buzzer beater with 3 seconds left, and like instantly, not even like a minute after, Capitals score an empty net goal. It's like, are you shitting me? We just pulled off probably a 1% play of saving our season for that minute, and it all goes to waste, man.
But the Red Wings knew during the shootout. They were so out of it. You could tell they weren't even trying. Like,
I felt so bad for them, dude. It was so depressing. When Kaner hit that shootout goal, man, it just like they had no emotion. They knew already, obviously. And just like, damn, dude.
You could tell, bro. And they were just going skating. Like they were like, they weren't even trying to shoot. They're just like, whatever.
I've never been so sad about a win. It was hard. It was very heartbreaking, man. Very heartbreaking.
Well, we got some cap. I know it's probably going to go to Sider and Raymond, but we got some cap. Maybe Yzerman could pull off a trade or something. I don't know. We need defensemen. We need a fucking goalie. So,
yeah. They have an interesting offseason, man. And it's just kind of like the Lions a little bit last year. It's like when they lost the NFC Championship game, it's like you just don't know if you're ever going to be back in the situation. And that's the part that sucks about it.
Yeah.
Really sucks, you don't know, man. If you got to be back to having a chance for the goddamn playoffs?
You just never know, man. You never know.
I think they would, but I actually think like the Red Wings are – I don't think they're really good. I don't think they're really bad. I think they're kind of stuck in the middle right now.
I mean, they had so many opportunities to put this thing away, and they never did, dude. They never did.
You know, like how the Vikings kind of were with Kirk Cousins and all that. That's kind of be the Red Wings right now.
I think that injury like that they had in the middle of this. I remember they were going through a winning streak, and then a few players got hurt, like a few main players.
A player went down. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that killed you guys.
I don't think they should have done that.
I'm not saying that's like an excuse, but I think like that destroyed the momentum. Because we got hurt, and then you guys, the streak ended, and you guys put the trash symbol on your patch, and then it went downhill from there. And then you guys started picking it up, but, I mean, that patch, man.
Tyler, would you agree right now, like, the Red Wings are kind of stuck in the middle? Like, they're not great, they're not trash, they're, like, okay?
Yeah, it's really going to come down. I mean, they have a good farm system. It's going to really come down to how those guys end up developing, if they could translate to the league. If they could translate to the league, I think – we're talking about a different story right now, but
100%.
I mean, right now there's a lot of questions right now, and it's a weirdly constructed team right now because there's a lot of veterans on the team with a mix of young guys. So like next year is going to be really, really interesting. I'm going to leave it at that. But the feeling that I have right now is the same feeling in 2022 when the Lions missed that playoffs when Seattle beat the Rams in overtime. That's like the exact feeling I have right now about the Red Wings.
I mean, Seattle, I don't know.
Would Seattle beat the Lions in overtime?
No. The Seattle beat the Rams and they eliminated the Lions, meaning that the Packers game didn't really have much meaning.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
You know, I saw that the Red Wings have the second best farm system in the NHL, but the problem is, bro, like it's going to take hockey doesn't work like, you know, how football and basketball is where you could just kind of play these guys right away. Right. And baseball and hockey take time for these guys to come up.
Come up.
You and trade develop, those guys for a star? Or do you develop them? I think that's the we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I think they have some options. I think they have with the farm system they have some options where they could potentially do something like that, where they could, you know, not trade all of them obviously, but trade some of them and potentially get a NHL ready player now. So
yeah, we'll see.
It sucks, dude. It sucks. But
Raymond and Snyder are studs though. Shout out to Yzerman.
Razor Raymond, dude. He was very vital during the end of the season, and
he's my favorite player on the team, but I love Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
Oh, Ken Daniels, man. Oh, we get no more of that, dude. Oh, that sucks, dude. Sucks.
Ken and Mickey are goated. Mickey
is so good, dude. Ah, the best broadcast team in sports, dude. Best broadcast.
I agree. He's better than your Knicks, Malcolm.
Malcolm's not gonna agree with that because they have Mike Breen and Walt Frazier. But
yeah, got Walt Frazier and Mike Breen, man. He crazy.
Best broadcast
team. Probably hockey, but I mean basketball. I don't know. I think Knicks have that title, man.
The poor guy, man. Went from calling like the great Pistons teams, the bad boy Pistons, to the going to work Pistons, and not calling this bullshit that they've got going right now. But my goodness. All right, that's a good way to end the topic. All right, guys, that's gonna be a wrap to this episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed this 3-round mock draft and my state of depression with the Detroit Red Wings and talking about the Detroit Pistons. But we'll be back next week. It'll be officially draft week. And we'll recap what we drew in the draft. So keep in store with that. And if you're going to be at the draft, hit me up. I'll probably be there. So if you want to meet up, I'll be there. So we can make that happen. So with that being said, that's all I got for you guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Like Tyler said, man, draft's coming up. We'll be talking about the draft. But we got the new unis tomorrow. I'm excited about that. So I'll see you guys next week. I'm out. Peace.